This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Who are sport's most unlikely heroes? Or the one I'm more interested in is whose birthday do you share it with?
The sports one, though, I think he was an unlikely hero because he came last. Eddie the Eagle. Yeah.
He was good, wasn't he?
He was lovely, you know. I mean, the film's great.
Also, if we're going film-wise, the Jamaican bobsled team.
Right, that was...
Cool Runnings. They're great. I love that film.
That is a great film.
I like...
That's unfortunately his last film.
Was it?
John Candy, yeah.
Oh, it was, yes. Yeah. He died on set of the next
one. He died on set of a film called Wagons East.
He did.
And it came out, actually.
What a loss.
A huge loss. He was... What a great, great actor he was.
Uncle Buck. Oh, I love
Fantastic.
Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
I thought he was great, John Candy.
John Candy was.
What was my hero, he said. What was the question that... Was it Sanka? Was the guy who goes, Sanka, you're dead?
What was that from?
Oh, Uncle Runnings.
I haven't seen it for years.
And Sanka used to sing, come on, man, you know we can't believe Jamaica got a bobsled team. It's good, isn't it?
Yes, that was a great... 1992, I think it was.
92?
I believe.
Oh, I love Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings is a great
it's
film.
A great film. I haven't seen it for... I might watch it.
Do you know what? I haven't seen it since it came out.
Really?
No. I think I went to the pictures to see it. Pictures. So that's an old term, isn't it? Do you say go to the pictures?
Go to the cinema, I say.
Yeah, go to the cinema.
Or, well, do you want to go watch a film?
But in America, of course, it's going to go to the movies.
Let's go to the movies.
Go to the movies. It's cinema. So much cooler than going to the pictures.
I don't like going to the movies. It makes me schwitz. I can't. I sit there. I schwitz. I'm sticky.
And then
once I schwitz,
I have to schluff.
I have to schluff while the movie's on.
I miss the movie. I miss the movie. My dad used to schwitz all the way through.
Schwitz.
He used to schwitz and schluff. But he used to schluff all the way through a film.
Sloughing is sleeping.
Is sleeping.
And schwitzing is sweating.
It's sweating.
Oh, we've had another message in.
Dan says his birthday is shared by
John Sim and Neil Tennant.
John Sim, great actor. Pet Shop Boys,
Neil Tennant.
John Sim's a great actor.
Because that's Dan. Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
So we are asking you two questions. Who are sport's most unlikely heroes? And we're also asking you, who do you share a birthday with? Which celebrity?
Which other sports star is unlikely? Gazza? I suppose he was unlikely, wasn't he?
I suppose so.
I suppose he was unlikely. What?
Oh, Goran Ivanisevic, the wild card into Wimbledon.
Yes.
Unlikely sporting heroes.
Unlikely sporting heroes.
Indeed.
Boris Becker. I mean, you never expected him at 17 to win.
Absolutely. Now.
Yes.
When was the last time you went on holiday, Johnny?
Actually went on a holiday and not to work. I mean, I've been abroad to work ages ago, mate.
Was it abroad? Did you go abroad?
I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm asking, because staycations across the British Isles are more and more popular. I'm very pleased to say that on the line we have Alice Teacake. A very good morning to you, Alice.
Hey, morning, guys.
Good morning to you, Alice. Now, of course, I've got to ask you, is that your real last name, Teacake?
Oh, do you know what? I wish it was, but it isn't. It isn't. It's a nickname.
It's a nickname, isn't it? Of course it is. But I love them. I love it. Well, why did you come up with Alice Teacake before we start?
I actually started travelling in South Korea first, of all places, and I rocked up there, and there was a bunch of Americans. There were no Brits, and they said, right, you're Teacake. And it just kind of stuck.
Oh, brilliant.
That's the truth.
That's nice.
That is fantastic.
Alice.
Yeah, it is fantastic. Yeah. Now, nearly half of Brits have never visited a British Isle outside of mainland England, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And over half of Brits couldn't even point to the Isle of Wight on a map.
Yeah.
But now Premier Inn and others are promoting holidays on lots of our British Isles. How many British Isles are there, Alice?
Yeah, so people might be surprised to know that there are actually 187 lovely islands surrounding Grand Britain.
No!
Yeah!
Is there really?
I know, because it's quite funny, actually. 8% have never even heard of any of these islands, and 2 in 5 of Brits actually think there are less than 10.
Wow. I would have thought so. Tell me just quickly, what are the really popular ones? I mean, obviously there's 100 and whatever you said, but what are the real popular ones? Like, there's Guernsey and Jersey.
Yeah, you got it, definitely. So, yeah, all the way down in between Britain and France, you've got Guernsey and Jersey. But also, what pops to mind is the Isle of Wight.
Isle of Wight. Yeah.
And we've got the Isle of Man between England and Ireland.
Yeah.
And then all of those lovely islands all the way up in Scotland. So there is plenty of choice.
Of course, yes. Of course, the Scottish ones.
I feel like a right idiot now not thinking about Scotland.
So what's the most interesting British Isle that you've been to, Alice?
I mean, I am quite inclined to the Isle of Wight, I have to say. It was my childhood destination holiday. So I just love it there. And I mean, as a child, it is magical. But as an adult, it's really cool as well. There's so much adventure there.
Well, just tell me some of the things that are good about the Isle of Wight.
Well, I mean, so first of all, I mean, it's super easy to get across. If you get a car, then you're laughing, really, because I did a one-day road trip all around the island. I did some coast steering. I was enjoying those nice little palms all the way around. I mean, just that rugged landscape and beaches. It's lovely. It really is.
And the weather's good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, British Isles.
British Isles, isn't it? That's what I mean. There can't be much calls for the beaches.
Well, it's like a free facial, you know?
Gotcha.
You get windswept and you get a nice, relaxing facial at the same time. So.
In the words of Billy Connolly, windswept and interesting. It's very good.
But I do have to say, the Channel Islands, if you are looking for something a little warmer, then the Channel Islands are actually a great place to go.
Oh, really? Mm. So where are the Channel Islands? My geography's not good, Alice.
So if you head all the way down south, they're actually between Britain and France. Spring arrives 4 weeks earlier than on the mainland. So if you're chasing that spring feeling, then you'll find it down there.
Wonderful, wonderful. And listen, why should people, though, consider staycations? I like the word staycation. Why should people consider going there? I don't think we've asked that, haven't we? Have you asked that? Sorry, Alice. Do you know what, Alice? I've got a question in front of me, and I went to the wrong one. What I was meant to ask you was, how was the Premier Inn got involved with you? That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're just kind of realising that there really are some gems to be discovered, and they are popping up. You know, there's definitely some in Guernsey and Jersey. There's one on the Isle of Man. They're realising that we have got some really cool stuff going on around in our waters. So why not make the most of it and not just get on that long-haul flight? You don't want that stress and anxiety.
No, it's true. It's true. The thing is, though, Alice, what I want to say, but people want to just, you know, most people, let's face it, they want to just go to the sun, sit by the pool, have their margaritas and their whatever they have, sangrias, and go, maybe, you know, just go out at night and stuff and go to a club and then come sleep all day near the swimming pool. These are more like travel holidays, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, truly, you do not know what is out there until you give it a try. Like, this is the thing. I think this is why a lot of people just do not know about the British Isles, because they do not know what is out there. You know, if you want the food, we have some amazing seafood going on. You know, down in Guernsey and Jersey, you can eat all the ice cream you want.
Wow.
It's going to be way better.
I'm going.
Alice, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I live in the northeast of England. We've got the best beaches in the UK. I'm telling you that.
Ooh. Yeah, but they're always closed.
Northumberland coast. Oh, beautiful, man.
Is it really?
Beautiful. Oh, yes. Absolutely. But, Alice, I want to ask you this question, actually. Do you think a lot of people don't go for staycations because 9 times out of 10, it's a lot cheaper to buy an all-inclusive out to Spain? But could perhaps, I don't want to make it too political, but could perhaps Brexit force us to have more staycations?
I mean, I would argue about this kind of cost. You know, when you start to factor in how much it costs to get to the airport, to take the flight, to get the tax, like all of these things can be very expensive. You know, there really is a lot to be seen right where we are. It doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. There are plenty of gems that you can see right here. And yeah, I mean, talking about Brexit, maybe it is going to change our travel plans a little bit. And there really is nothing wrong with that. You know, this is a great opportunity to see what the British Isles really does have for us. Why not make the most of it?
Alice, I mean, what are the advantages of staycations over, like, big holidays abroad?
Well, I think, you know, you're going to be actually seeing a lot more about your culture that you didn't even know about. You know, the British are so varied, and I just love how quirky you are. You know, talking kind of from an outsider's point of view, because yeah. I've travelled around the world. You know, I thought that I would, you know, learn so much seeing the other side of the world, and I have. But it was only in the last 2 years since I've come back that I've just started to realise how awesome things are here too. You don't have to go far to really learn a lot about what is going on.
It's, you know, it's lovely that you're a big advocate for staying over here, because it is a wonderful, wonderful country, and we've got some wonderful isles. You're quite right.
Yeah.
You're quite right. But what's your favourite country that you've been to other than that? I mean, what would you say, you know, other than the... You said you've travelled all over the world. Where's your favourite other place to be?
I mean, I'm quite a far out there girl. You know, I really love a challenge. I love to challenge myself. So I will kind of go to places, because I represent solo female travel particularly. So I'll go to places that are going to make me think and make me see what I'm capable of. So I've just got back from hiking in Pakistan.
Wow.
It was absolutely amazing. I really wanted to challenge stereotypes, you know, just like this kind of idea of like the British Isles, it can't be great. Pakistan was amazing. It was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, the same can be said for here.
Well, it's wonderful. Alice, I must ask you quickly, where can we see you on YouTube and stuff?
You can.
Yes.
Yeah, you can actually see my face on YouTube if you want to.
I'm going to look you up right now, Alice.
Yeah, you can just find me at teacaketravels.com.
Teacaketravel.com. Thank you.
Alice, I also wanted to say, I think you're absolutely right, and we should have a British staycation, because British holidays used to be brilliant. I was brought up in the Midlands, now live in the North East.
Yeah.
So the Midlands, we used to go to North Wales, we go to Rhyl, Prestatyn, Llandudno, go to Blackpool, and in the North East we've got Whitley Bay, we've got South Shields, and these are all places where the old entertainers used to have summer seasons, and they've kind of disappeared, but they're starting to come back again because people are having these staycations, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I live in Leeds right now, and I picked Leeds particularly because of the Yorkshire Dales, and also I can hop across the waters to Ireland like super easily.
You don't sound like you're not from the North East. Where are you from originally, Alice?
Yeah, so I'm actually originally from Dartford in Kent.
Dartford? Oh.
Famous for the beautiful tunnel.
Yes, the old Dartford in Kent. My nephew, he lives there. He's got a place there. Where can we get more info about the British Isles, Alice, finally?
Yeah, if you pop along to premierinn.com, then you'll find all the information you need there, and you can start planning a holiday.
Fantastic. Or go to Tea Cake Travel?
You got it. Yeah, think of a cup of tea and a piece of cake and you're on your way.
And there we are.
Fantastic.
Thank you,
Alice. Oh, quickly, before you go, we are asking people, do you share a birthday with a celebrity?
Oh, I do. Do you know what? I'm born on the 2nd of October and I share a birthday with Gandhi.
Wow. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
There we
Alice,
are.
Alice, thank you very, very much
thank
indeed
you,
for
Alice
coming
T-Cake.
On to the Bell and Sperling Show. That's Alice Teacake, a travel blogger. You are listening to the Bell and Sperling Show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the tea cake.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
It's being reviewed currently.
There we go.
So Joe Wilson, the third umpire. Joe Wilson, the third umpire, is just double-checking this. There's a call for perhaps a wicket here, which is not going to be good. Cricket's not going to be happy here at all.
He's going to cut like a knife the atmosphere in here.
Ooh, I don't know what that... Do you know what that looks on the board? It looks like it could be quite... We'll let you know. Mm. Oh, the ultra edge. Oh, there is a knock. There is a knock.
It's got audio.
It does that thing. You know when
you just have
to listen to it and it goes ding. And the impact line. The impact line and...
No.
England are 42 for 2, so we're all right.
We're all right.
We're all right. Well,
hang on a second.
What?
Our producer's walked in and he's going to sit down.
Well, yeah, if you look at your schedule, Johnny Sperling, you know that you're supposed to be coming in.
He's on schedule.
He is, yes.
Where is that?
12:18 should be on there. Welcome, producer Laurie.
You're here to talk about
Liverpool's win of European Super Cup on penalties. Completely different Chelsea side.
Yeah, I thought briefly we'd just talk about that that review call there just for a second.
Absolutely.
It's on the right-hand side. I didn't see where it said Laurie in studio. because he's on the right. It should be... Anyway.
Anyway, it's that man, Nathan Lyon, who causes all sorts of trouble in the first test. He's pitched one outside off. It's coming in. They were calling for LBW on Joe Denley. We've talked about how vulnerable he's looked recently. But it's missing the wickets, so we've survived. But England's certainly looking a little bit
I'm not very
sketchy.
Happy at the moment. I'm not very happy with this. I didn't give you your intro. And now it's time for Laurie in the studio. Oh, Laurie!
Thanks, John.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be one of my more treasured memories from today, I'm sure.
No, there's going to be quite there's quite a few to go, I can tell you that.
Absolutely. Well, you are in to talk about Liverpool winning in the European Super Cup. And as I said before, completely different Chelsea side, wasn't it?
Completely different. I mean, in the first half, Chelsea, I mean, the shots, they do all the stats at half-time. They're like, oh, it's a pretty even game. In my opinion, it was not an even game. Chelsea just outclassed Liverpool in that first half. Particularly Pulisic and Pedro looked really good. Kante, obviously, coming back into the side is going to make a huge difference to that Chelsea team. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, again... We're all a bit harsh on them from the Man United game. They weren't dreadful. They could have been one or even two up in the first half.
The stats say that they were all over it in the first half.
Well, yeah, I mean, they ended up going in 1-0 down, didn't they, at half-time? Yeah. But really, you know, they could have been a couple up and it could have been quite different. And I think, I know it's been a cliche to say it over the last few days, but 4-0 definitely flattered Man United. It could have been, you know, it could have been 2-0, I think, would have been fair. And even that, maybe not, because they definitely should have scored probably in the first half.
I was going to say, I think Chelsea deserve to be on the score sheet for certain.
And on to last night, it's a relatively similar story. I mean, in extra time, of course, there was that penalty call, which was given against Adrian, very harsh. I mean, it didn't look like there was much contact. It's one of those things where the TV angles didn't really help because every angle you went to, it wasn't quite right and it was difficult to see. But I know it went to VAR and they've given the benefit of the doubt to the referee, but to me that looked soft. So maybe it shouldn't have gone to extra to penalties. Having said that, in the first half, Chelsea were so good and, you know, throughout patches in the second half, obviously Liverpool really responded after the break. But I do think that, you know, Chelsea were unfortunate to lose that game.
Let me ask you something, Laurie.
Go for it.
Look... They did. I mean, Chelsea were a different side yesterday. Going forward, of course, to Sunday where they've got Wolves, is it? They've got Wolves, haven't they?
No, Wolves are playing Man United on Tuesday.
Oh, Wolves are playing Man United. Chelsea have got... I can't remember
now. I think
it's
Leicester, isn't it?
Leicester! He's right. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. Usually, especially like with something like the Super Cup, which, let's face it, it's not the biggest cup in the world, is it? You know, it's not the FA Cup or the... It's the Super Cup.
It's not, although they do take it more seriously in Spain than we do here. I mean, some people compare it to the Community Shield. Actually, it was a funny thing yesterday. I won't tell you why I was watching with American commentary, because obviously I always pay for my sports broadcasting.
Yes.
But there was some American commentary that I was watching, and their analysis was that... after losing the Shield, Liverpool have to win this one. As if they would have really cared that much about losing the Community Shield.
They don't really understand.
They just don't get it.
I love listening. I've got a couple of mates that are American. And I speak to them quite a lot about the Newcastle, because I like hearing them talk about Newcastle United. Yeah, and I spoke to them about 2 or 3 days ago, and they went, "Hey, buddy, are you looking forward to the Magpies taking on the Canaries?" And I was like, "Do you mean Norwich against Newcastle? Is that what you mean?"
My point with bringing that up is that although we did see a different side Chelsea played, but you know, usually with the Charity Shield, the Super Cup, and the other one, Europa. You know, let's face it,
I think the Europa League's taken relatively seriously.
It's the Consolation Cup. We're not good enough to get the Champions League.
I actually disagree.
Let's have a cup.
I disagree. I think
ones who are not as good.
The way English teams have approached it in the past, Chelsea aside, it's a really good opportunity for the sort of second tier teams. And when you do think about the class gulf in our Premier League, when Liverpool and Manchester City are so outweighing the class of the rest, it means that there are a lot of good teams in Europe. I think it's a very worthwhile cup to win. And, you know, Spain kind of understood that better than us for a long time. Sevilla won as many as they did.
You've got your opinion, I've got mine. I say it's the Consolation Cup. But listen, what I'm trying to say is this.
I tell you what, if Spurs fans could get it, they'd rip their arm off. You rip your arm off.
Spurs fans could get it. We don't have to get it. We're not in it. We don't have to be in it.
You've got to think of these teams like Wolves.
Spurs could get it. We don't want that useless cup. We want the cup that we should have got this year, that we were robbed.
You shouldn't have got it.
We were robbed.
Wolves, let's think, Wolves were in League One, was it 3 seasons ago?
Yes.
And now they're getting to play in Europe, and probably what will be against some top teams if they get through, what it looks like they will do.
It's good.
I mean, teams like that, I mean, even as Newcastle fans, obviously when me and Cal were younger, Newcastle were in the Champions League. Even when we flukily finished 5th under Alan Pardew, and we then got to play in the Europa League.
Yes.
I mean, the European nights are great.
Are you telling me, seriously, that Arsenal fans are thinking, oh, it's great, we've got the Europa League
also,
again?
Also, the thing, that you're, not
the thing that
you're not thinking about is that when you do win the Europa League, you do care because that gets you into the Champions League.
Yeah. No. Absolutely, Chelsea, they won it. And so they're in Europe, but they were already, though.
Arsenal would have been in the Champions League. So
they
are you telling me that Arsenal fans didn't want to win that game?
Well, of course they wanted to win. But because they didn't win, they've got to do it all again. They've got to be in the Eustace Cup again to go through all that just to see if we can win it. If they don't finish top six, obviously, they don't get it.
But
top
that's the point. It's not a useless cup then, is it? Because
Eustace Cup.
That's what gives them the chance of getting into the Champions League.
Anyway, Laurie, what I was trying to say is this.
I know, you've said what you're trying to say.
No, I haven't. I haven't come to my point yet. When they play Leicester in the Premiership, is that a different...
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt you here, right? I was looking at producer Cameron to see, because I don't know who he supports, and I went to ask him there to see, bring him into this conversation. He supports Middlesbrough. Stay on that side of the glass.
To be fair, Borough have played in the Europa League, but I agree with you.
Stay that side of the glass.
My point is, and I've said my point.
I know what
now.
Your point is. Your
what
point is,
it?
Is essentially that it's a different kettle of fish playing them in the league.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I think you're right, but I also don't think that, you know, Leicester's the easiest game to go into off the back of what is now 2 losses in a row at the start of the season, irrespective of how well Chelsea have played. Leicester had, you know, it was disappointing for both sides, but no one wants to draw 0-0 on the first game of the season.
No.
Especially with the additions they've made, and precisely because of those additions, Tielemans, etc., Perez, we would say.
Yeah.
Leicester, you know, have a chance of causing Chelsea some problems.
We say that, Laurie, but as Newcastle fans, we lost 1-0 in a match where we should have had 1-1, or I'd have taken 0-0 on the first day of the season, home to Arsenal, would you?
God,
yeah, I think that's true, but you've got to think at the moment between Newcastle and Leicester, the ambition is just completely different. Like, it's a mismatch. Like, Leicester, people are talking about very seriously, could take the place of certain teams in the top six. And bearing in mind, there are no guarantees over how well Chelsea have done because they haven't been able to sign someone. Leicester are going to be looking at that Chelsea game and thinking, well, actually, we've got a squad that can really challenge. I mean, having said that, over the last few games, Chelsea, I know there was the result against Man United, but particularly with Pulisic coming in and Mason Mount look good, it does look like they're, you know, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with to an extent this season.
And of course, they've got the injured players to come back. They've got Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah, and Rudiger's really such an underrated centre-back. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think they should take it for granted. I think Chelsea are probably still marginal favourites going into that game, but Leicester are going to be dangerous against any team they play this season.
Yeah.
Same as Wolves were last year. Going back to the American thing, you just reminded me.
Oh, yeah.
There are some... Occasionally, you'll see, like, a really funny advert for American coverage of games.
Right.
And I remember there was one for the... SPFL, and it was like Motherwell versus Hibernian in a battle of giants. It's like, who will write the Scottish legend? Like,
it's just not like that at all, is it?
I love it.
It's incredible, yeah.
I love American thing. It's always 10 times over the top, isn't it? It's
over
brilliant.
The top, yeah.
I love it. Absolutely love it. But they've got the epitome of it with Trump saying, there were millions of people. Millions and millions and billions and billions. So many people. So great. So great. Just like producer Larry. I think he's a great guy. So great. Such a great guy. I know him. He's so great. So great.
If we could get Cal back, I did actually just want to ask you, Cal.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
As a fellow Newcastle fan.
How are you, the lads?
I know Johnny was dismissing the Europa League. But for me, when I've been to European nights at Newcastle, which I used to a lot when I was little and obviously less so as I got older.
You was never little, was you? I don't believe you. You've always been 6 foot.
No, do you know what? I did actually, did you spring up quite late? Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think I was quite short until I was 16 or 17. And
really?
Then,
now, did you,
and then I overtook everyone who looked down
on me. I was the opposite. I was always...
What do you mean you never grew at all?
How dare you? No, listen, I was always like more than average height as a growing up to the age of 12.
I'm going to say up to the age of 4.
No, up to the age of 12. And I just didn't grow anymore. Everyone was just shut up. It's true.
Okay.
I was always more average.
You were bigger than average,
how
were you?
How tall are you again?
5 foot, 5 and a half.
Oh, they always get the half in, don't they?
Well, I'm 6 foot.
Yeah.
Oh, so I haven't got small man syndrome.
That penguin could have looked you in the eye.
Pick up a penguin.
You could have thought that
human-sized penguin could have looked you right in the eye.
Five foot three.
You'd have had a giant penguin.
I'd have had a huge penguin.
What did you want to say, Laurie?
No, I just wanted to say, growing up, going to Newcastle European Games, the atmosphere is just unbelievable on those kind of Wednesday, Thursday nights.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Tuesdays back in the day. And I don't know, it's different because Johnny's a Tottenham fan, but I think for teams of our calibre that I have to aim, obviously much lower at the minute, but ideally kind of like for the seventh and eighth kind of positions, then... Is that not really exciting for you?
Just quickly, I want to interrupt you. Do you know the history of the Europa League like you do the Champions League?
It used to be the UEFA Cup, and before that was the Intercity's Cup. And Newcastle won it in 1969.
Okay, fair enough. They won it
50 years
you know
ago.
That because that's your team.
Our last cup.
But statistic-wise, you know more about the Champions League, don't you?
Well, inevitably, but that's because all the other teams that are in it are obviously going to be of a higher calibre. But
you're never going to agree with me, are you?
Well, I'm not.
Obviously, the Champions League's the governor, and the Europa one is the consolation.
Johnny, all I'll say is, until a couple of seasons ago, Tottenham were playing in the Europa League every year, and you seemed to care about it then when you were losing to Basel.
I didn't care about it. I did not care. I did not understand. You're right. If you ask any Tottenham fan, we didn't want to be in the Europe. We didn't
that
care.
That is a mic drop. You're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show minus the bell.
And very much plus the gal.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
A very good afternoon. You're listening to the Bell and Sperling Show minus the bell.
And very much plus the gal. I've just got to close this up.
Why?
Amanda Holden keeps staring at me.
Ooh.
Now, that's one thing.
Piercing eyes.
Yeah, don't want it.
Don't want it.
Don't want it. I want to get rid of it.
You don't like it. They don't like it,
Mr. Manry. I don't like it.
We are asking you who are sport's most unlikely heroes. This is after Adrian saves the deciding penalty to win Liverpool the Super Cup. We're also asking you, do you share a birthday with a celebrity? Declan's messaged in saying that Margaret Thatcher's who he shares a birthday
Maggie
Thatcher.
Maggie.
Oh, that's not for turning.
Maggie. What is that famous saying?
The lady's not for turning.
This lady is not for turning.
Yes, that's what it is. So I can never do anything.
She was.
But that was the era where they had loads of great impressions of politicians you could do.
Yeah, we were spitting image.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. British politics now isn't as great. So
Roy Heseltine.
Yeah, Phil Cool.
Was it Roy Heseltine? Because he should. Say his name. No, David. I've got two. Roy Hattersley. Excuse me. Roy Hattersley, he just spit everywhere.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, they had a pub in the spit everywhere.
Yeah, they did. They did indeed.
I'm sorry, I'm choking it.
It's all right. They had
on my own. You know when you choke when you've got something in the back of your throat?
Yeah, why don't you get rid of it?
I tried.
You did all over the desk.
No, I did not.
No, there was loads of impressions you could
there
do.
There was.
So, but now you don't have so many.
Who else did you have? They used to do a great thing on Spit Image with Paul McCartney.
They did?
Because Paul McCartney was his character. He used to come in every time someone speak to him. Hello, Paul, how you doing? What are you having for breakfast? He did go and write a song about it. Oh, I'm going to have some scrambled eggs. Because he did every... It seemed every 5 minutes he'd write a song.
He did?
It was funny.
So, I'm going to have
some scrambled
eggs. One of the last remaining Beatles. Do you know what? You know, yesterday when we were talking about westerns and stuff like that,
that was funny.
Do you know when I fell asleep and woke up in Brentwood? I woke up and went, "Well, well, well, Cal Halbert's gone and fallen asleep and woken up in Brentwood. What you gonna do?" Go back on the other train. I did that out loud because I just thought, I'm going to cry otherwise.
Brilliant. Now, do you know what that sounds like when you do that? There
What's
was
that?
A brilliant character in The Man with a Golden Gun. I think he was also in... I think it was in the follow-up film to that. I think it was Spy Who Loved Me. When the sheriff.
Okay.
When he's with the sheriff. Well, I sure do, boy. What are you doing there? What's your name? Well, no, I don't believe it, James. What are you doing there? Oh, James.
But it is. It's the guy that you hear the saloon doors open and he spins round on his stool and goes... Well, well, well. If it isn't DDA Drogba. Gonna come in here and score some goals, are you? That's us. I would love that. I would love if a manager spoke like that. Do you know what I mean? It's a well, 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 well. If it isn't Frank Lampard. What you gonna do? Manage a team to two first losses? I see how it is. I just wish it was more like that. It'd be great, wouldn't it? It'd be so good. 4-0 and 5-4 on penalties. What are you going to do, Frank? You're right, Johnny. You keep choking, mate. Are you okay? Oh. Are you okay?
Every time I get... You make me laugh. Every time that I'm trying to recover.
I'm sorry,
it was
mate.
Very funny.
Sorry, I just wish
well,
they did it.
Well, well, well.
It's just the way they talk.
What have we got coming up? Think we're talking about Scottish football, do you?
We are indeed. First of all, you insulted him with a Scottish accent. Now you're going to insult him with an American accent.
I did not insult him with a Scottish
We've
accent.
We've got Gabby on the line. A very good afternoon, Gabby.
Oh, not again. No, this is ridiculous.
Has he gone?
He's gone again.
Can we... Is he
hello?
Yes! Gabby!
Have I got you?
Yes, you have! Fantastic!
Oh, Gabby. Now, first of all, Gabby, you wasn't insulted by me saying earlier on, I don't know if you heard me, when I said, and we're talking about Scottish football in a Scottish accent. That's all right, isn't it?
Was that supposed to be a Scottish accent?
It was terrible, wasn't it? Gabby, oh no, it was shocking.
Thank you very much indeed.
That was the insult, how bad it was.
It was indeed. We are speaking to Gabriel Mackie, the Football Scotland. Let's talk a little bit of Celtic first. Disappointing exit to Cluj the other night after being in the lead twice. They bottled it, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did. They had an away goal after the first leg as well, so they had all they had to do was not concede a goal. They went behind, and then, as you say, they went ahead twice, and they still somehow managed to go out. Not just go out; they managed to lose the game. So it was a bit of a shocker for Celtic, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, what do you make of Neil Lennon as a permanent fixture at the club? I mean, there seems to be less optimism around. I mean, even with 12 goals in the first two league games.
Yeah, I think they've started the league season very well, but looking at the European games before that, you're worried about the defence. They've signed a new left-back, Bolly Bolingoli Mbombo, who has been nicknamed Bolly Bolingoli Mbombscare by some of the fans. He didn't even play in midweek because they put Callum McGregor, who's a midfielder, they put him in at left-back. And I think the fears about the defence definitely came true on Tuesday night, conceding 4 goals at home. I think that's only the third or fourth time Celtic have ever conceded 4 or more goals at home in Europe. So despite obviously being very good domestically going forward, and they did score 3 goals the other night, there's real concerns about their defence.
Let's move on ever so slightly to my granddad's team, my late granddad's team, Rangers.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was indeed. A harder fixture against, how do you pronounce this? Is it Michelin? Is that right? Is that
I think
right,
it's
Gary?
Michelin, yeah.
Michelin,
so.
Yeah, Michelin. They go into tonight with an aggregate lead, but the Danish side have caused British teams problems in the past.
They have. You'd think Rangers having scored 4 away goals, they're up 4-2. You think that should be enough to get through. They'd have to lose 3-0 or... You know, or Michelin would have to score 4 if Rangers get a goal on the night. So I think as long as Rangers can get a goal on the night, if they can get a goal early, they should be able to go through. It would be, I mean, Celtics was bad. Throwing away a 4-2 lead from the away leg would be absolutely catastrophic.
Yeah, listen, Rangers have also started the season well with 2 league wins. Will Gerrard's boys push Celtic closer this year, do you think? Gerrard.
I think it really... I think it really depends what happens between now and the end of the transfer window. As things stand, I think Celtic squad is certainly weaker than it was last season, and Rangers are certainly stronger. So we'll have to see. There was 9 points in it last year, which is a big gap to overcome, but yeah, they're playing each other in just a couple of weeks, and if Celtic don't manage to get some reinforcements in the door, I think it'll certainly be a lot tighter than it was last year. And, you know, in Glasgow, the pressure can build pretty quickly. Pressure's already on Lennon. If they don't get a good result in that first Old Firm meeting of the season, then things can spiral very quickly.
Yeah, they've made some good signings, Joe Riba for one, but is their best business keeping Alfredo Morelos this summer?
Yeah, I think so, certainly. If you look at him and Jermaine Defoe, those are two players who you think could easily get 20 league goals, which obviously is a huge advantage. It did look like he was going to be going. He gave a few interviews in Colombia saying he expected to be going. He didn't renew the lease on his house, so I think he expected to be going, but that hasn't materialised. Of course, I guess he could go somewhere in Europe before the end of the transfer window, but that's not looking likely at the moment. He was the top scorer in the league last season, so yeah, I think that's a really important piece of business to keep hold of him.
Aberdeen, I mean, they're still in Europe for now. I mean, 2-0 down on aggregate, but can they bring it back, do you think?
I think it'll be difficult. Aberdeen are known for being sort of solid defensively and hard to beat. Having lost that away leg 2-0, they now need to chase the game, which doesn't really suit them. And obviously, if Rijeka score on the night, then Aberdeen need 4, which is a really big ask. So never say never, but I don't think too many Aberdeen fans are going into tonight's game with a huge amount of confidence.
Well, I mean, Aberdeen have got European history, though. I've done a dinner with the Gothenburg greats. They're fantastic. And they say that Aberdeen are so desperate to win something again in Europe. They've won the World, the Cup Winners' Cup and they've the Super Cup in the past, but they don't normally make the group stage, do they?
No, they don't. They were actually the last team to beat Real Madrid in the European final,
yeah,
interestingly.
They were, yeah.
But no, they don't usually make it to the group stage. They don't have the resources of Celtic or Rangers. And, you know, Celtic or Rangers' resources are nothing compared to the teams from the big five leagues. I think the last time they made it to the group stages was about 10, 12 years ago. I remember they played against Bayern Munich.
Did they not beat Bayern in the semis and then Real Madrid in the final? Is that right? Or was it quarters and then... Am I right in thinking that? It's just off the top of my head, I think.
I think it was Bayern in the semis and then Real Madrid in the final.
Yeah,
I'd have to double check that, but they certainly did beat both on the way.
Yeah, do you think Scottish football is valued high enough by the UEFA? I mean, there's no automatic spots for Scottish teams, but particular Celtic and Rangers have worldwide fan bases, don't they?
They do, but then they're not really helping themselves by results like Celtic got the other night. Mm. I think there's certainly a case to be made for a club like Celtic, you know, a club that's won the European Cup, to have to go through 4 qualifying rounds is a bit extreme. But then if you don't get the results in Europe, then your coefficient won't improve and you won't be able to move up there. I think certainly it's weighted towards, you know, the big five leagues. I mean, Serie A, the Bundesliga, the Premier League and La Liga all get 4 automatic spots in the group stage now, which, you know, they obviously... I guess that just comes down to, do you want the best teams in the Champions League or do you want a wide representation of leagues? I think there is definitely an argument to be made for Celtic and Rangers, which are massive clubs, that they should have more of a chance of playing in Europe. But then if they're not performing in Europe, they won't get the chance to improve the coefficient and have an easier round next time.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. What would you say to the people that argue about the Scottish League that they're just two teams, Celtic and Rangers? And as you say, it could be argued that it's quite laughable that it was 9 points clear for Celtic. Yeah.
Well, what I would say to those people is that it's difficult to compare a league like the Scottish League, where you have two teams who get 50,000-60,000 every week. This is in a country of 5 million people. You know, England's got 50 million people, so you're always going to have a lot of big teams. And, you know, a team like Newcastle, who get 50,000 every week,
yeah,
don't win things. They don't, you know, whatever, they're not competing for stuff. Whereas in Scotland, there just isn't the population to support that kind of thing. You've got to... huge clubs in the biggest city, and there just isn't the fan base there isn't the population there to support other teams really coming up and challenging them financially, especially since whenever it was in the 70s they stopped pulling gate receipts. So Celtic and Rangers just have huge financial advantage over everyone else.
Let's get your predictions before you go. How far will Rangers and Aberdeen get in Europe this year, do you think, and who will win the league based on what you've seen so far?
I think Aberdeen's run probably ends tonight. Rangers will be playing Polish team in the next round. I think that'll be a difficult one. They could possibly get through that. I don't think they can get past the group stage. I'll say group stage for Rangers, Aberdeen, unfortunately, out tonight. And I think Celtic will probably have enough to win the league. As I said, nine points is a big gap to overcome.
It
I think it'll be tighter, but I think Celtic will get there in the end.
Before you go, I want to speak very, very quickly a bit more about Rangers, actually. They've done so much to come back, but it seems so little yet so far, isn't it? What do Rangers need to do in order to be able to take that top place from Celtic again?
It's very difficult because obviously they had to sort of come up through the leagues while Celtic were competing in the Champions League at that time. They've got that inbuilt advantage. They've got a squad that knows how to do it. I think it's just about slow and steady progression. They've been getting better over the years. They were certainly better last year. If they can get closer this year and maybe win one of the Cups, then I think they'll be set up next year to really go for the title, which is the big one, because if Celtic do win the league next year, that would be them going for 10 in a row, which is the record. The current record is 9 in a row shared by both Rangers and Celtic. Yeah. So I think it's all about just taking, you know, slow and steady progression.
Gabby, thank you very, very much indeed for coming on to the Bell and Spurling
Show.
My
apologies again, Gabby, for the East Scottish accent.
That's Gabby Mackay there for Football Scotland. Thank you very, very much for coming on to the Bell and Spurling Show. You are listening to the Bell and Spurling Show, minus the bell.
Very much plus the cow.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Bell and Spurling Show, minus the bell.
And very much plus the cow.
You are indeed. You are indeed. We have been asking you, who are sport's most unlikely heroes? And we're also asking you, do you share a birthday with anybody famous? Poshboy, you mentioned one before.
Poshboy.
You mentioned one before.
By the way, before you start, you're going down, boy.
Ooh.
You're going down,
fighting
Posh.
Talk.
I'm just not, though, am I?
Yep.
It's fairly straightforward.
hang on a minute. How many games have I won? Four. How many games have you won? Let me think. One!
Well, I was completely hamstrung on the football one by the fact that my questions were eight times harder than yours.
That's because you're a football guru.
Well, I'll take the compliment over the win and
absolutely
move on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, hang on. Football nerd. Carry on, Cal.
who were the birthdays that you had, Johnny
Burrow? Oh, there are plenty, mate. I'm a big deal. George Lucas was one of Star Wars creating fame. Mark Zuckerberg was another of Facebook creating fame. So clearly a day for the nerds, Spurling, the 14th of May.
But what is it time for now, Johnny Spurling?
Well, you know what it's time for. I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's time for Games with Laurie.
Games with Laurie.
And here he is. Give him a... Here's the man himself.
That sounded like two bits of ham slapping together. That's all that sounded like. That.
Or something else. Carry
Have
on.
You tried doing that before? Do you know what that sounds like?
What, slapping two bits of ham
just
together?
Imagine you in your kitchen.
Quite difficult, actually. A
couple of bits of ham.
Yeah, I can.
Why ain't a man?
How are the lads? Producer Laurie.
Hi there.
What is the game today?
So, you heard before we've been talking about this. Penguin, the human-sized penguin.
Yes.
5'3".
Is that taller than you, Spell?
It's no, just about
no, it is. No, it's 5'3", and I'm 5'5½". I've told everybody that.
He's like a little
penguin.
What
if it was 5'3½", then it's not far away, is it?
No.
I'd like...
Penguin.
Why do you have to do that?
Because it's Frank Muir from the 70s. If you want a penguin, penguin. You've got to find the end and we'll play it.
We've played it before, like six times.
Penguin.
Okay, let's move on. So,
yes, please, what's the game?
Because of the penguin, they found a skeleton of a penguin that was life-size.
Yes.
Or human-size, sorry.
Johnny Spurling size, yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you a list of extinct animals. But are they real or are they fake?
Okay. I like it. I like it. It's simple.
What do you mean it's simple?
No, it's simple but effective.
Yeah, but also something that's good about this is technically none of these now exist.
Right.
Because, Laurie, who came up with it?
Because they're all extinct or hypothetically extinct.
Hypothetically extinct.
You came up with it.
But there's some real hypothetical ones.
Well, yeah,
and not real.
Johnny wanted me to do things like a 14-metre tiger. Like, I'm not doing it based on height. It's like names of animals.
Okay. Cool.
Silly posh boy.
I know.
Okay, I'll keep score again, as always.
Oh, are you going to do that? That's better, because I'm, like, scribbling down and
I'll keep
keep track. Okay.
Cal Halbert keeps the score.
Johnny.
You know, if you weren't so lazy, we might get a jingle. Here's your first one.
Yeah.
Johnny Spurling.
Yes.
Never existed. Don't believe that.
I'm extinct. Don't worry about that.
The pink-headed duck. Is that an extinct animal or is that a fake extinct animal?
A pink-headed duck. Sounds so stupid that I've got to say a pink-headed duck. A pink-headed duck. It's true.
It is true.
Oh, how is he so good at this?
He reads the sheet, I imagine. No, that's what he does.
That's the sheet, mate.
I know. I might have to change my style if he keeps doing well. Mm. All right, Carl Halbert.
Yes.
Sorry, I was just waiting for you to say nation's favourite.
Nation's favourite, sorry. Nation's favourite, Carl Halbert, yes.
A mountain lemur. Is mountain that lemur. Fake or real extinct animal?
Wow.
Mountain lemur.
You won't be seeing one on your way home because they're extinct.
They're extinct.
But is it fake extinct?
The lemurs are from Madagascar, aren't they?
They certainly are Madagascar.
I like to move it. I like that's what they dance.
My band's first name, Babacoso. We were called Babacoso. We loved it.
Right.
Babacoso. Babacoso was a Madagascan short-tailed lemur. That's what it meant. Carry on.
True.
False. A mountain lemur is something that has come out of my mind.
Right, mine. Come on then.
Yeah, imagine a mountain lemur coming out of anywhere else.
Johnny,
carry on.
Johnny, yesterday they were in stitches for about 10 minutes because they said that I came in their ear over the mic.
He comes in my ear all the time. All the time.
Constantly coming in my ear.
I'm trying to concentrate, and he comes in my ear.
Johnny Burrow, have this in your ear. A Bolivian fruit monkey. Is that real or is that fake? Why is that funny?
A Bolivian fruit
monkey. You get fruit
monkey.
Bats.
I don't know.
That's fake.
It is fake, yeah. It's fake.
That's good.
Point. So, Cal's behind.
1-1-0.
Okay. Back to Johnny Sperling.
Mm-hmm. A pygmy forest fox is.
Do you know what pygmy means?
Little.
Yeah, pygmy, a little pygmy.
Like you.
Or as the Beatles once said, I dig a pygmy by Charles Hawtrey in the Decades. Phase one, in which Doris gets her oats. It's the beginning total to a
that
song.
That was quite satisfying, this
evening. Right, I'm just going to say it's true.
What was it again? Pygmy forest fox, that's fake. Made it up.
Oh, yes!
There's an opening for the fox boy.
We get excited.
All right, Carl Halbert.
Nation's favourite.
There it is. Chinese river dolphin. Is that fake or real?
Real.
That sounds like the name of an indie band.
Chinese river dolphin.
River dolphin. It's great. It's a great name.
Oh, have you heard the new EP by Chinese river dolphin?
Is it true?
Oh, mate, I prefer their early stuff.
Don't keep him waiting.
Chinese river dolphin is real, wasn't
yeah!
it?
Yeah! Got one.
Back in the game.
It's but in the back of the net.
Johnny Poshboy Burrow.
Oh, could take the lead.
Could take the lead here.
Here we go.
A Tasmanian tiger.
A Tasmanian tiger. Johnny Burrow and the Tasmanian tigers. That's a false. That's a falsity. That's a fib.
It's real, mate.
Ah!
Well, it was real.
Oh. I like the Tasmanian devil, like Taz. That's what he used to do, didn't he?
Oh, as James Robinson Justice says in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Had your chance, muffed it. Had your chance, muffed it.
Toot.
Sweets,
toot, sweets, a bonbon to blow on at last has been found.
Oi, toot, sweets, toot, sweets, the eatable, tweetable treat.
Do they shout oi in the original?
No, they do.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
There's far too... How are you so versatile at getting those in? I mean, I don't think they're always relevant, but your Chitty Chitty Bang Bang references are always...
Had your chance, muffed it.
He did,
okay.
Yeah.
I know, because he did.
He
yeah.
got approximately... Exactly 30 seconds.
Yeah. And Charles, buffed it. Go.
Mr. Whistling Sweets.
Johnny Sperling.
Yes.
Is this a real extinct animal?
Yes.
A lava mouse.
A lava.
Lava, like lava that comes
out
of
a lava volcano. Mouse is true.
Yeah, it is.
It's so weird it has to be true.
I know, but I was thinking, how is it a lava mouse? Because if it touched lava, it would die.
Wow. Well, whatever it is,
so
it's
do you
true.
Think it just lives on volcanoes?
Well, it did die because it's not here anymore. Carry on.
Yeah. The shortest existing animal of all time.
The lava mouse.
The lava mouse.
Carry on. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay. Cal Halbert.
Nation's favourite.
Flying salamander.
Oh, flying salamander.
Is it real or is it fake?
First of all, that sounds terrifying.
It does
a flying salamander. Oof. I imagine it's one of these ones that say, oh, they're flying and they don't really fly. They just jump. And
like
have...
a flying squirrel.
Yeah.
Where they have the things.
Yeah, and they're a fox or something like that. Yeah. I'm going to say
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say true.
What was it? Flying Salamander?
Yeah.
Very fake.
Oh! Hang on, it's 2-1-1. So I've got it.
2-1-1-1. 2-1-1. Hey, his name was Posh. And no, carry on, please.
2-1-1-1.
2-1-1.
Laurie.
Johnny Burrow. You are Johnny Burrow.
Oh, God.
What about a burrowing shrew?
Ooh.
Is that real or is that a fake extinct animal?
Burrowing shrew.
Do a Attenborough for the burrowing shrew.
And on the left, we see the burrowing shrew.
Or rather, we don't because it's extinct.
And it's now extinct.
Burrowing shrew. Ooh. False.
Well done, that's false.
I think a shrew is too small to effectively burrow. Probably.
I think they might burrow, actually, anyway.
They do burrow, yeah.
But it's just not its defining characteristic.
Okay, well, either way, I've drawn level.
You have. It's 2-1-2.
It's 2-1-2-2-2-2-1-2.
2-1-2-1-2.
Johnny Sperling.
Yeah, I'm going to concentrate, yeah.
How about...
Yep. Go on. Let's have it.
A Stella's sea cow. I don't know who Stella is.
Stella's sea cow.
Stella obviously found
found
a sea cow. But I don't know who she is.
Stella's sea cow. I'm going to go with... What's that? What are you like?
No,
do it later. Please do it later. Please do it later.
I'm right in the middle of thinking here. Stop it. Gary's.
Can I just think, like, how it's complex 50, do you 50. Have to think right in the
Stella's,
middle?
What is it again?
Stella's sea cow.
Stella's sea cow. I am going with true.
Yes, that's true.
Yes. Oh, come on.
Bit of a weird name, 3, 1, Stella's. Yes, I think I maybe gave it away slightly.
What would you have said there? What would
you have one, two.
Yeah, you.
Cow, cow. The nation's favourite, Cal Halbert.
Cal Halbert, is there such a thing as, or was there such a thing as... Should I say? Apologies, listener.
Yes.
Cobra fish.
Yes. True.
Straight in
so
there.
So quick.
Why so sure?
Just because I thought I can't win now. So
you can win.
Yes.
You can't, to be fair. Even though this is worth 5,000 points, you can't claw it back. Cobra fish is fake.
Oh!
But a cobra fish is a type of canoe.
Wow.
So hang on, Sperling is 3-2 up. I have one question in hand.
Well, it's 5,002 to 2, but
fine.
Yeah.
Either way.
You know how it works.
5,000 to 2, 2.
If you lose this, I've won again.
Yes, I can do math.
You win again. You win again.
So you win again.
Ask the question.
I so don't want you to win. here's one. A Nigerian worm lizard.
Oh.
Is that real? Or is it fake?
It's hard. It's good. It's good. Good.
Nigerian worm lizard.
It sounds so bad.
Mm.
But is it real?
Oh, I genuinely don't know.
For the tie break.
Nigerian worm lizard.
Oh, Johnny Boy wins again.
Do you want to go out on taking a gamble or do you want to go out on saying it's not real?
A Nigerian worm lizard.
Let's be honest. If it is a thing, we all want to know what it was.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's real.
It is real.
Oh,
yes. 5,002.
No.
Here's my question: did a worm lizard have legs or not? Because lizards
surely
have legs.
Not. Is that a
wrong question?
Yeah. Because I was about to Google it, so I'm not allowed to Google it.
Surely didn't.
Well, no, it's not. No, it's
this
not.
This isn't a tiebreak question.
What? Like the tiebreak is: does it have legs or not?
you can't do a tiebreak question. Yeah, go on. You can.
No, it doesn't. It just looks like a giant worm.
Okay.
Otherwise known as a snake.
We're on a tire break, aren't we?
No, but it looks like a worm. It doesn't look like a snake. It looks like a worm.
It's scaled. It's a scaled worm that therefore looks like a snake.
That does not look like a snake. Has got tiny little
hello.
At the top.
Just for the purpose of the listener.
We're on radio, by the way.
For the purpose of the listener, me and Johnny can't see the screen.
No, so it's completely useless to us and the listeners to shut up the pair of you. Let's go on with the time break.
Rich coming from you and shouting constantly. You can shut up, Johnny Sperling.
Okay, we've had...
I want to win it, though.
I want to go home.
Yeah, well, you're going to go home in a minute.
This week, we've been talking about the Cincinnati Masters.
Yes, tennis.
I was going to see if Johnny could remember what sport it was.
The Cincinnati Masters.
Masters.
Cincinnati.
Where I'm from.
Masters.
Cincinnati.
Okay.
What, you say Masters like a
Master.
Well, you said master.
Yeah, because that's how. That's the word.
Please? No, it's master.
Master. Ah.
Go.
Okay.
Let's do it.
But when they're on their day off, rather than training, maybe want to put their feet up, carrying a little bit of an injury, being careful, they might go out. I think Cincinnati has a zoo. So if they went to the Cincinnati Zoo in the past, not now, maybe the 1987 Cincinnati Masters.
In the past,
back when Roger
past.
Federer won his first one.
Exactly. Would they have found a Cincinnati anaconda?
Oh, there we go.
Now,
how do we play this?
Basically, I'm going to give benefit of the doubt to the person who's behind. This is how we're now going to play.
Wow.
So by default, you get your answer given to you. So that will give you least credit if you win.
What's allowed to pick?
So because Johnny's behind in the overall leaderboard, he's going to get first refusal on his answer. So is that true or false?
That's false.
Okay. And Johnny Burrow, Johnny Sperling, by extension, you have to back true.
Say it again, the Cincinnati...
Anaconda. I don't need to say it again because...
Cincinnati Anaconda.
You don't get a choice.
You don't get a choice.
Oh,
you're going for true.
I know what I would say.
What would you say?
I'd have said true.
Would you? Well, you would have been wrong.
Oh,
yes!
I
won!
Johnny Burrow has won the game, which means that it's getting closer again. What do you want? Is it four to one.
4-1.
Oh, 4-2-1.
Cal Halbert, I hope before you go in a while's time that you put in a more respectful performance.
No, I won't.
You got another week, haven't you?
Do you know what's admirable? Do you know what's admirable though? He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. I love the way he says, I don't care. I'm indifferent.
I am indifferent about it. I enjoy the quiz, but if I lose, I don't really care.
I don't care losing to you. I care losing to him.
How are you feeling? Talk the listeners through it.
Really bad.
Well, I had a text from one of our listeners.
Very descriptive, Johnny.
Yeah. Gary said, because we keep singing...
Sorry, can me and John leave the studio before you get onto this?
No, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang songs we keep singing. Yeah. And he said, before I leave the house, could you gents sing Truly Scrumptious for me?
Of course. Truly scrumptious, you two are truly scrumptious.
Thank you.
Scrumptious as the breeze across the bay. When you're near us, it's so delish. What did you do? You dumped it, didn't you?
No, I...
How can you dump it?
I could dump it.
You can dump it in here.
He's not near the thing.
I dummied turning his mic off.
He did. Because, do you know what Posh
Boy is? You've only delayed.
Do you know what Posh Boy is for me?
What?
He's my
little chuchy face. My hoochie-coochie-woochie-chuchy-chuchy face.
This is Love Sport.
You've been listening to Bell and Sperling. We will sign out. Thank you very much.